Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. We worship your holy name. You know, today could be the last day on the planet for us. We don't know when the Lord is coming, and we don't know when our time is up, but we do know that the Lord told us to watch and pray and to be ready, amen, to meet him. And so that's what we're going to do, amen. Keep our eyes upon Jesus. And as we do that, the things of earth shrink, don't they? The problems that we face become so small because he's able, more than able. Hallelujah. We get heaven's perspective on our earthly situation, right? I mean, know that God's in full peace. He is our peace. All right. He's not stressed out about anything going on in the earth, right? Neither should we be. So God wants us to have his peace and to rest in him. And draw near to his heart. That's the place of quiet rest. And that's our privilege and our heritage as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus. People are hungry, you know. You've got to look for the fruit. Some of it's low-hanging. I've had a couple opportunities even this week. Just somebody even just asking the questions, you know. And God is bringing back his wayward sons and daughters. He's drawing back those who have been away. And I believe that God's going to have a bride. He's going to have a church that is ready. So he's got to round up all the stragglers. And sometimes the Lord has his way in the whirlwind, actually. Know that whatever's going on right now in your situation, in our nation, in the nations of the world, God's on top of it all. Amen. He's going to have his way in the earth, and he will be glorified in all the earth. And even though the heathen rage, you know, God's going to have the last laugh here. But, you know, we have a Father in heaven who does dearly love us. And today being Father's Day, I was thinking about, well, I've preached a lot of Father's Day's messages and about giving instructions to dads and, you know, I'm always praying, God, make me a better father and a better husband. How many can agree with me that there's probably some room for improvement in your life? We have to continue to stay open and teachable and pliable in the hands of the Lord. The Lord wants to continue to work with us. But if we're stubborn, you know, then he has to, well, intensify maybe the beating that goes on the lump of clay to get it to be compliant. But if you're just pliable in his hands and willing to listen and obey the voice of God, it can go a lot easier. How many know what I'm talking about? If you were a cooperative son or daughter growing up, you found that, you know, it could go a lot easier for you in the household. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, we had rules. Rules are actually a good thing. How many would agree that rules are a good thing? Rules are designed to protect you, right? So if we got out of line, there were consequences. And so we learned how to self-discipline, because if we didn't self-discipline, well, somebody else would discipline us. Amen? And sometimes it took somebody else disciplining us to bring us to a place where he said, you know, I think it'd go a lot easier if I just say yes. You're always right, Dad. So, you know, and of course, now we have the philosophies of men, you know, that are being presented to people, and the foolishness of men, basically, that says, well, you don't need to discipline your children anymore. And how many know that what's going on in our streets today is a result of not disciplining children? The breakdown of the family as well, not having fathers. Fathers are very important, especially for young men. If they don't have a good father figure, then they end up learning how to, you know, do life on the street. And they just toss around ideas that they learned there. And, well, it's not good, is it? And I believe Jesus said in Matthew 24 that lawlessness would abound in the last days, and we're seeing it, aren't we, on a large scale. And that the love of many would grow cold. And I mean, the things we hear, we don't need to get into today, but just where somebody's walking down the street, an elderly couple, and somebody just beats them down because of their race, you know, or for fun. People going around the knockout game, you know, have you heard that? Just cold cocking people, you know, right off, you know, just walking up and smacking them down, you know, trying to knock people out with one punch. Just for fun, for kicks. Think maybe the love of many is growing cold today, or yeah. Well, the solution, of course, is to return to our Father, Father of our spirits. And in order to be a godly person, we need a godly standard. We need a godly example. And of course, the perfect example would be our Heavenly Father. Now, in the Old Testament, God was a mystery. And people couldn't really know God because they couldn't have a personal relationship with Him under the law. So they could hear about, learn about God. They could know what God's word said, but they couldn't know the heart of the one who sent that word unless they had the Spirit of the Lord to reveal the Father's heart to them. And so when Jesus came, He came to reveal the Father's heart to people. And so there's a difference between reading about somebody and being personally acquainted with somebody. You know, some people have really wore out their Bibles. They know the Bible very well. They are very doctrinally correct. And yet, how many know that you can have all the knowledge of the Word and yet not know the Word, Jesus Christ? And unless you know the living Word, Jesus Christ, it's just a dead letter. Jesus is the one that brings it, amen, alive to us. Jesus is the one that reveals the Father to us. King David was known as a man after God's own heart. And he sought the Lord. He wanted to know God. And unlike many in his day, David had the privilege of knowing God's heart because he had the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And remember back in the Old Testament, the only people that had the Spirit of the Lord were the prophets, priests, and kings. So it wasn't like we have it today where God said, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So today, any of us can receive the Spirit of the Lord, amen, through repentance and faith. And up until the time of Christ, that was the only way that anybody would have any type of relationship. And that's why David could have a relationship with the Lord, because he had the Spirit of the Lord with him. So it's impossible for people to know God unless they know Jesus. In John 14, verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Now Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Now guys, I felt it was impressed of the Lord to go into this today, to speak on this today, because of all the confusing messages that are going on today, there are so many voices. And people, because they've been in lockdown, have access to all kinds of preaching and teaching and doctrines. And I mean, there's some really weird stuff going on out there, amen? And none of us have all the information, have all the knowledge, amen? We know in part and we prophesy in part. But God wants us to know what is true. And He wants us to seek out the truth, amen, to seek Him, that we may know what is authentic, what is real, what is true. So Jesus is never recorded in the Bible as saying that He was the Father, but rather that He was the way to the Father. Amen. In John 14, 6, you already quoted that. He said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say I'm a way. He didn't say it's through Buddha or Muhammad or through Mary or the saints or any of these other so-called avenues or mediators. Jesus is the only intermediator between God and man. Amen. He's the only way to the Father. So we can know who the Father is, the Father's heart. But we see God the Father when we see Jesus. And so people don't know God the Father because they don't know Jesus. And there's probably billions of people today yet in the earth that have no concept of who God really is because they don't know Jesus. And because the devil wants to tell people that you can choose any path you like to get to God. And God is used often in a generic term, or, you know, used loosely. Many people talk about God, but the question is who is your God? What do you mean by God? And the only way for us to know the true God, the living God, is through Jesus. In John 12 and verse 44, Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me." And because he said that, people say, well, see, Jesus is the Father. No. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to take a look at what Scripture says, the revelation of who the Father is and who the Son is. It's because Jesus always pointed to the Father, did he not? And we point people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit always points people to who? To Jesus, right? And Jesus points us to the Father. So how can we lead people to faith in God? By pointing them to Jesus. Amen. And through Jesus, they can know who God is, the Father. And through the Son, people will see the Father. Now, remember when Saul of Tarsus, later the Apostle Paul, was converted? On the road to Damascus, he had that tremendous vision, and the bright light that blinded him. And he was smitten by the Lord, you know. And in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, it says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Wow. When you and I are born again, when the Spirit of the Lord comes to dwell within us, immediately we begin to think on, speak on, dwell on Jesus. He becomes the center of it all. Can you say amen? Here in Philip, the evangelist, says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, he went down to the city of Samaria, and who did he do? What did he do? He preached Christ to them. He didn't preach prosperity or anything else. He preached Christ. Now, I'm not opposed, and neither is God opposed to prosperity. The problem is that people are putting the cart before the horse, and they're preaching the Lord basically as a means of getting wealth. And it's, how many know it's not about the temporal things of this life? God is preparing us for eternity. So the disciples went to great efforts to help people see God by seeing Jesus. In Colossians 1:15, he said Jesus is the image. An image means exact likeness of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The CEV says exactly like. He is exactly like the invisible God. Another translation, New Living Translation, says Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. So that term, when you have to understand, firstborn is figurative speech, meaning a place of superiority or uniqueness. It's not like he was, a created being, because John 1:1 tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And the Word became flesh, God incarnate, right? God in a man, right? In a human body, and dwelt among us. So in Exodus, God instructed Moses concerning the nation of Israel in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22. It says, "Then you will tell him, Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son." So what was he saying by saying Israel was his firstborn? Again, he was saying they have a distinct place in his plans and purposes. Not literally his firstborn, but figuratively. And what the cults do is they get a hold of this firstborn thing and they say, well, see, Jesus was just a created being like you and I. And that's a lie. That does not agree with the witness of Scripture and the Spirit. Amen. How about David? David was actually the last of the lineup. Remember when Samuel was picking him out, right? It was time for Jesse's sons to come through, and they were going to pick out the one that God would anoint to be king over Israel. And he was actually the last born son, not the firstborn, because Eliab was the firstborn. But what did God do? God gave David a place of preeminence, of unique supremacy and sovereignty. So basically what happened is God chose the last one and made him the first. Now, what Jesus said, many that are first will be last. Many that are last will be first. So we need to understand that it's not always an order of birth. It means that we're given supremacy, a place of a unique calling. Now, regarding Jesus, Hebrews 1 and verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, Jesus, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, the supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ incarnate. There it is again. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He had made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Now, the Bible is very clear that God the Father is invisible. And I've heard people say that they had a vision, they had a dream, and that they saw God the Father. You know, we need to weigh everything that we hear. I don't care what somebody's personal experience was. Does it line up with the witness of Holy Scripture? Does it line up with the Word of God? How many know that there's safety, amen, in sticking to the manual? Amen. God the Creator designed us. He knows what works, what doesn't work for us. He knows what's best for us. He wants us to trust his word. And so in John 4:24, Jesus said, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him what? In spirit and in truth. So how can we see God then? Well, by seeing Jesus, who is the exact representation of his being. That's why Jesus could say to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He didn't say, I am the Father. He says, I'm an exact likeness of the Father. He came to reveal the Father's heart to us. And John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So if you want to know what true love is, you need to look at Jesus. Amen. If you want to see the true power of God displayed, we have to look at Jesus. Amen. And if we want to function in authentic Holy Spirit power today, we need to be looking at who? Jesus. Amen. It needs to be about Jesus. It's never about the vessel. Amen. Even Jesus himself always pointed to the Father. He never drew attention to himself. You and I, as servants of the Lord, are to always point people to Jesus. Amen? And Jesus will point people to the Father. If you want to see an example of a perfect Father, then we need to look at Jesus. Any perfect fathers in here this morning? We do have a perfect Father, don't we? Our Heavenly Father. And when we grow up, we want to be just like him. Remember the commercial years ago, like Father, like Son. So as we follow our Father, as we look to him, as we learn of him, learn from him, we become more like him. You know, you're going to be like the people you admire. How many beside myself have had people in your life that were instrumental in shaping you as a person for good? Yeah. There are people in your life that you admired and say, man, I want to be like you. Because there was something, a good characteristic about them that you thought was good, that was important, that was valuable, that was commendable, that was something to be desired. And so it is. Our Father in heaven is perfect. He's a perfect, holy Father, isn't he? Perfect in all of his ways. And so we want to become more and more like our Father. And we become like him as we look to him, look to the Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're changed into that same image from glory to glory, from faith to faith. John chapter 5, verse 19. The Son perfectly represents our Heavenly Father. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Like Father, like Son. God the Father, he didn't just leave us to guess about him, but he came to reveal himself through his only begotten Son. In John 3:16, I'm sure no one has heard this one before, but I'll read it for you just in case. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You know, it's very important that we understand what that means, only begotten Son, "that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What it's speaking of here is that Jesus is full deity along with the Father. Because if Jesus was less than full deity, he could not adequately represent God the Father. He would not be the Father's exact representation, as we read about in Colossians. He had to be equal to the Father. Philippians tells us, right? He made himself of no reputation. But he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. He was the Word in the beginning with the Father that became flesh. God revealed himself in the person of the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Lord came to do what? To point us back to the Father. To restore the hearts, if you will, of the sons back to the Father and the Father to the children in that sense as well. Only begotten Son speaks of full deity of Jesus. And every false religion in the world fails at this point because they deny the full deity of Jesus Christ. It's one common denominator you'll find in every false cult, a false religion, is that they deny that Jesus Christ is full deity, that he is God, equal to the Father. Amen. And so that is under attack by the spirit of Antichrist. Because only through Christ is there access to the Father. Jesus said in John 10, verse 30, "I and the Father are one." Well, doesn't that mean that he's also the Father then? No, it's not what he's saying. He's saying that he's in such unity, complete unity and harmony with the Father, that they're as one. We believe in the Trinity, which I don't want to get into today, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three expressions, amen, of the same Father. The old illustration we use is that of water, steam, and ice, all the same substance, but different manifestations of the same. All right. 1 John 2:22. Let's look at this. "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son." You see, there are some religions that say God has no Son. Islam says God has no Son. In 1 John 4 and verse 3, "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." This, once again, is speaking of his deity. That God took upon himself the form of human flesh, amen? And the likeness of sinful Adam without sin. And made his dwelling with us. He tabernacled with man. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. John 1:14, it says, "And again, the Word, what, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." How many know that Jesus is more than just a good man or a prophet? He's the Son of the living God. He's the Christ. He's the only way to the Father. And he is God the Son. Jesus and the Father are in complete harmony and unity. In other words, he exactly represents, manifests, and makes known the Father to us. Now, lost people cannot see God because they do not know the one whom he sent. It's impossible for people to know the true God apart from Jesus Christ. Well, brother, that's awful narrow-minded. That's awful intolerant. But Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? People need to hear about Jesus, amen, in order to believe on him, in order to come to the Father and know who God really is. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You know as well as I do that just believing in God does not get a person saved. Even the demons believe that, and they tremble in the fear at their pending judgment and their doom, according to James 2:19. So it's not mere consent of, you know, to God's existence that brings salvation. It's repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that brings us the new birth and entrance into the kingdom of God. So what we need to do is we need to introduce people directly to Jesus. Amen. Come to the Father through the Son. Jesus being the intermediator, amen, between God and men. Now, Jesus must be the central theme then of our preaching, our teaching, or our witnessing. It's got to be about Jesus. It ain't about just getting wealthy and getting better, getting healed. Those are important things. Amen. People need wealth to survive. Amen. They need healing often in their bodies. Amen. But that's not the central theme. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. It's Jesus Christ as being the way to the Father and the only way. And through the precious blood of Jesus, we can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Amen. That's what people need to know, that all your good works are not going to save you. You need to put your confidence in Christ alone, and you need to turn away from you, because if you try to save your life, Jesus said you will lose it. Amen. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you will find it. Hallelujah. How many here have Jesus in your life today? How many would say that Jesus is my life today? Hallelujah. My life revolves around him. He is the central theme of my existence. Why I'm here is for him now. I've been purchased. I've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. I am now his property. Amen. Hallelujah. He's coming for a bride. He's coming for a church that is holy. He's coming for a people that are prepared. He's getting us ready for that day. Hallelujah. If you claim Jesus as Savior, he must also be Lord. Lord of all. So we need to introduce people. John 17:3, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Again, we cannot know the heart of the Father without knowing Jesus. Amen. Through the baptism with this Holy Spirit that God has sent to us, his Holy Spirit, he empowers us to be witnesses for him, doesn't he? How many know this one? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can take this gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And through Jesus, many can come to know God as Father. So we need to speak Jesus to people, amen, and speak directly to people and point them to Jesus, amen. And he said, if I be lifted up, then I will draw what? All men unto me. We need to make Jesus the central theme of our lives, amen, of our message, of our preaching, of our teaching. How can you see God the Father? Well, once again, by looking at Jesus. He's the visible and exact representation of God the Father. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. In verse 2, listen, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Hallelujah. How do we overcome our faith? Our faith in who? In Jesus. Amen. Keep looking to Jesus, trusting, calling on him, waiting on him. Be patient in the process. Amen. God is with you. God is for you. You just need to believe. That's what God wants. He wants us to believe him, that what he promises, he will do. He will provide the grace you need daily. Come to him and ask your Father for your daily bread. Pray. And in John 12 and verse 44 and 45, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Amen. Now we'll see the Father in the face of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your word today and being with us. And I thank you for the word, the truth, Lord, that sets us free. Lord Jesus, we believe you are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. Lord Jesus, we believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God, I ask you to help us, to empower us, to enable us, Lord, to be effective witnesses. Lord, to point the world to you, because we know, Lord, that you are the answer for the world. There is no hope without you. There is no other way to the Father except by you. So, God, I pray that you will empower us as your people. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now and say, dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood. Lord, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Anoint me to be a bold witness for you. I trust in your grace to do what you've called me to do. So empower me, strengthen me with might in the inward man. By your Spirit, light me up for you, Lord. Set my heart on fire. Give me holy passion to glorify your name and to win souls for your name's sake. Father, happy Father's Day. We love you, Father. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. And for our earthly fathers, Father, we thank you as well. May we honor them. May we bless them this day for all that they've invested and sacrificed for us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Blessed be your name.